You, all you flat earthers out there who don't pay much attention to the astrological, astronomical world, you have a chance to place yourself in the solar system today. That little black speck on the sun today is a planet called Venus. You may have heard of it, transiting the sun in a rare event, kind of similar to an eclipse, except Venus in front of the sun barely makes a dot. It's a fairly big dot, and it's quite visible. We mostly observe planets as dots of reflected light up there in the sky, but this is a moment when it's the shadow of starlight that makes Venus tangible. The starlight today, of course, from our own star, the sun, and our own star of space and screen. Miles O'Brien, science correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. The doctor is here in the studio himself. Miles, welcome.
Aw, shucks.
Hey,
thanks.
Great to have you here. So, transit of Venus, there's all kinds of lore down through astronomical history of people who tried to sight it and predict it and that sort of thing. What are people going to see when they actually, I guess it's not recommended that they look up at the sun, but observe it in whatever way they can.
Yeah, what you're going to see is a tiny little dot, which passes in front of the sun over the course of about 6 hours and 40 minutes. But you'd have to be in Hawaii or in the middle of the Pacific to see the full thing. Here on the east coast of the U.S., for example, you'll get a few hours before sunset. You'll see the beginning, but not the end of the transit. Now, these transits, it's an eclipse. It's just that it's much
right.
Small. It's a dot.
Exactly.
And so these are actually, in the history of astronomy, very big deals, because back in the 18th century, we didn't know the size of the universe. And this was one way to calculate that, using parallax, which allows you, if you're in two different spots on the Earth, you note the time it begins, you note the time it ends, do a little geometry and math, and you can determine the distance between Earth and Venus.
And can you determine the distance between other planets as well? You can sort of begin to calculate based on the orbits of other planets. So it's a mathematical tsunami that begins with this kind of observation.
Easier said than done in 1761 and 1769,
however. And the calculators ran on steam.
That's right. And, just setting your clock when you have a pendulum involved in the clock and you're on a ship, you got a problem, right?
Yeah, because the ship moves. That's right. Well, that's a whole other story.
Yes.
The transit of Venus, why doesn't it happen, like every year or something? I mean, Venus is going around the sun. It's got to come between us and the sun, regularly.
It's funny because I remember in second grade they had that solar system thing and all the planets lined up so perfectly.
The mobile?
The little thing, right?
Right,
it's
with a crank
not that
on it.
Way. Venus is tilted by about 3.5 degrees relative to our orbit. And so as a result, this little transit is usually above or below. But every 105 or 120 years or so, and it comes in pairs that are 8 years apart, you will see Venus actually line up just perfectly and pass between the sun and us.
All right. Now, to look at the little dot, you haven't been precise here yet, Miles, and we really rely on you to be precise when you come on our program here. You are not recommending that people pick up some binoculars and look at the sun.
Oh, that would be bad.
Yeah.
That would be bad. And we certainly would want them to call you if they had a problem with that, not me.
Okay.
So, all right. First of all, rear projection screens are good.
Take
a binocular, twist it around backwards. You can project it onto a piece of paper. That's a simple way to do it. You can use a telescope with a solar filter. Please use the solar filter. Eclipse glasses. Do you have eclipse glasses?
Yep, sure.
Right. Everybody should have them. If you don't have them.
So if you have eclipse glasses, does that mean if you just look naked eye, you're going to see this dot?
With the eclipse glasses?
With the eclipse glasses.
And you will be able to see it, yes. And if you don't have eclipse glasses, welder's glass, number 14 welder's glass.
Number 14.
Number 14, not 13. Don't do 13.
No, 14. Yeah. 14, always 14. Yeah. All right, if you had some spectacular, amazing telescope, and, filters and a motor drive that could, cancel out all the motion, and we're able to take a decent photo. Is there anything about the transit of Venus that lights up the planet, that gives us some sort of more of an indication of what's on the surface? Because as we know, Venus is a cloud-covered planet, and it's very, very difficult to figure out any sort of features on it.
Yeah, Venus is global warming run amok. Venus, even though it is not the closest planet to the sun, is the hottest planet in our solar system.
Wasn't always that way?
Well, we millions of years ago, before the global warming took hold, maybe so. We don't know. But the fact is, it's very hot there. Are we going to be able to see much in the way of the atmosphere from where we sit with a telescope? No, but there's a whole series of instruments that are kind of pointed at Venus, including one that is orbiting in the vicinity of the planet by the Europeans. All of these measurements will come together at once. Scientists love it when they have multiple instruments trained on a planet at one time. It gives them a baseline and a reference point.
Sense of power.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about, just like the corona of the sun is best visible during an eclipse when the moon passes in front of the sun, is there anything particular about the transit of Venus that reveals data about what's going on in the atmosphere? Maybe it's not visible, as you've said. It's probably not visible. But are these instruments going to be able to see something that you can only glimpse during this event?
Well, from where we sit, probably not so much. Those instruments that are closer hope to. They hope to cast, the light will cast through the atmosphere slightly differently. They might be able to learn a little something. What's even more interesting, though, is this is a front row seat to the method for determining how we find exoplanets, planets way outside our solar system.
There you go.
So we have instruments which point at distant stars, and when they dim ever so slightly, that's how we determine if a planet goes in front of it. We can actually learn an awful lot more about how that works and how the dimming occurs because it's right there, front row, and we know it's going to happen.
And basically you can calculate the percentage of dimming and then extrapolate that to what takes place in distant solar systems. And well, that's actually quite interesting.
It's like a gnat going on your headlight and knowing the difference in the light that comes to you. And that's what astronomers use to determine if there are, in fact, habitable planets out there way beyond.
And the technology is now with us to determine the gnat on the headlight fluctuation.
The Keck telescope, launched by NASA, is doing just that.
I'm figuring, as PBS NewsHour science correspondent, as Miles O'Brien, pilot, science, you have a master's degree in science, right?
No.
Okay, so you must have some awesome telescope, right, at home?
But he's a geek.
Something. What have you got? You've got some great equipment for observing this.
Not really, no.
Really?
No. I'm just going to watch the webcast. They're really good webcasts. There are like a dozen webcasts. That's going to be the best way. I'm
revoked.
Telling you, it's the best way to watch it. Go to transitofvenus.org. There's some links there to a dozen webcasts. You'll be able to watch the whole thing as it goes across the planet.
And speaking of which, let's go to transitofvenus.mus. This is a tune called Transit of Venus.
By Sousa?
Mr. John Philip Sousa.
Who knew? Yeah,
who knew? History major. Hey, keep that history major. It's
going to be useful. Humanity's rule.
When does it begin? When does it begin tonight in the Eastern time zone?
A little after 6 p.m.
A little after 6 p.m. And in Hawaii, you got the whole damn afternoon. Miles O'Brien, science correspondent for PBS NewsHour, covered space issues for over 20 years, including this transit of Venus that takes place later today. Thanks, Miles.
Pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.